This week's parasha is Parashas Vayeshev, very dramatic goings on in Parashas Vayeshev, the parasha in which we begin to journey with Yosef HaTzadik, beginning in Perek Lamed Zayin, who we will stay with until the end of Sefer Bereshis through Perek Nun. Yosef's narrative, along with the story and the journey of him and his brothers, really takes up the last quarter, if you will, of Sefer Bereshis, and we have so much detail about the life of Yosef and his brothers, and ultimately his success and their descent to Egypt. The story begins, the narrative begins, I should say, in this week's Sedra, Parashas Vayeshev, and Perek Lamed Zayin. Yosef, of course, is the beloved son to Yaakov Avinu. He is the son of Rachel, who has died in Perek Lamed Hey, who has been buried in Kevir Rachel. Yosef was only 17 years old. He was a shepherd with his brothers. Vayave Yosef esti basam ra al avihem. But Yosef saw his brothers behaving in ways he did not understand, and he brought slanderous reports about his brothers to his father. And the pasuk tells us that Yisrael, meaning Yaakov Avinu, loved Yosef more than all the other sons. He was the son of his old age. Targum Onkel says bar chakim hu they. He was the son of wisdom, that everything that Yaakov learned by Shem and Eber, he gave over to Yosef. He made a special ksonis pasim. The brothers see their father loved him from all the other brothers, and they hated him. They couldn't speak to him in peace. And now Yosef starts to dream, and to make matters even worse, he tells his brothers the dreams, and the dreams are indicative that Yosef seems to be dreaming of rulership over his brothers. Ahamaloch timoch aleinu, the brothers say, do you think you will be king over us? Imashal timshal banu, will you be ruler over us? Vayosifu od snow. Also, they continue to hate him for his dreams and his words, and he has another dream, and the heavenly bodies are bearing down to him, and he tells his brother, and he tells his father, Vayigarbo aviv, his father chastised him, his father scolded him, and he said, what is this dream that you dreamt? Do you think me and mother and your brothers will come bow down to you to the ground? Okay, his brothers go, and they are being their shepherds, and one day they're doing their job, they're being shepherds, and his father says, you know, before WhatsApp, and before iMessaging, and before status, and before all other kinds of social media, when word travels around the world literally instantaneously, the brothers are shepherding and father wants to know where they are. She says to Yosef, I have a mission for you. Go find your brothers. Go check out the peace of your brothers, the well-being of the flocks, and bring me backward. And he sends them. And Yosef goes on this journey and this mission. He finds this mysterious man. He's trying to find his brothers. And when they see Yosef coming, wow, look who's coming. This dreamer is coming. And now let's kill him, let's throw him into this pit, and we'll say a wild animal ate him. Reuven wants to save him, but he is a weak Torah personality and he's not able to save him. Lamaisa Yehuda comes up with a plan that why should we kill him? He is our brother, he's our flesh, let's throw him into the pit, let's sell him. Lamaisa, they do not kill Yosef. What they do is ultimately throw him into the pit, and somebody pulls him up from the pit and somebody sells him. It's very unclear from the Torah text exactly who pulls him up. If you pay attention to the Pesukim, it's not clear if it was the brothers or the Midianim or the Sochim. However, someone pulls up Yosef, someone sells him, and he is going on a caravan down to the slave block in Egypt, where he will be bought by Potiphar, the Sarhar Tabachim, the chief executioner. A very, very dramatic beginning to the detailed life of Yosef HaTzadik. What happens after they sell Yosef? So Vayashav El Achav, Reuven comes back, he sees Yosef is not in the pit, he says, oh my gosh, the child is not here, what should I do? And they take the ksones, the cloak of Yosef, and they slaughter a male of the goats, Seir Izim, they slaughter a goat. They dip the ketones of Yosef into blood, and they come to father. Yaakov, Zot Matzadu, we found this coat. Hakerna Haktonet bin Chahimlo, look what we found. We found this cloak. Is it the cloak of your son or not? And he recognized it, and he says, it's the cloak of my son. A wild animal certainly ate him. Torov Taraf Yosef. Yosef has been torn to shreds. And Yaakov tears Kriya, and he puts sackcloth on his loins. Vayis Abel Albino Yamim Rabim. And he mourns for his son for many days. Pasuk Lamed Hey, in Perek Lamed Zayin, Vayakumu kol banav v'chol benosov v'nachmo. And all of his sons and all of his daughters get up to comfort him. Vayima ein lehit nachem, he refuses to be comforted. Vayomen, he says, ki erid el bini avel she'ola. He will not take any divrei tanchumim from anybody. And he says, I will go down to the grave mourning over my son. Vayevk oso aviv. And his father cried for him. Rashi says, Vayima ein lehit nachem, why did he refuse to be comforted? Ein adam mekabel tanchumin al hachai v'savur shamis sha'al hamis nigzra gzeira sheyish takach min halev v'lo al hachai. Rashi tells us a principle of Chazal, quoting both from the Gemara and Pesachim and Medrash Bereishis Rabba, that a person does not accept consolation over a live person who he believes to have died. So when a person erroneously thinks that someone has died, but really that person is alive, something in the heart and in the neshama of the bereaved recognizes and feels that that loved one is still alive, and they refuse to accept comfort. A heavenly decree has issued over someone who has passed away. Sheyishtakach min alev, he is forgotten, so to speak, from the hearts of the survivor. And the person, the bereaved, is able to move on, so to speak. However, when somebody is alive and the bereaved person refuses to be comforted, it is a sign that somehow in the recesses of their neshama, in the recesses of their heart, they have an understanding, a deep subconscious understanding that that person is still alive. Over a person who is alive, a person does not accept divrei tanchumim, they refuse to be comforted. The last pasuk of Perek Lamed Zayin, v'hamidyanim machu oso al Mitzrayim, the midyanim sold him, the merchant sold him to Egypt, l'potifar sris paro sar tabachim, to Potiphar, one of the chamberlains of Paro, the chief executioner, according to Unclus. Okay, what I want to do is quote from a beautiful piece from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, Zichrono Levracha. Very hashkafic message. What does it mean that Yaakov refused to be comforted over Yosef? I quote from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb in his Sefer Drashot Lidorot Genesis, a commentary for the ages. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb says as follows, and I always love to see in which year these drashos were given. This was delivered in December of 1966. Says Rabbi Dr., which is contemporary, of course, meaning it wasn't hundreds of years ago. It was in more recent times, within the last 80 years, so to speak. Here we go. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb says, let us also learn from Jacob's strength, from Yaakov's strength, from his great merit, though he was not conscious of it at all. Jacob thought that Joseph had died. He mourned for him for much longer than 1 year that Jewish tradition prescribes. When his sons and the rest of his family tried to console him, he proved to be inconsolable. He refused to be consoled, like we saw the lashon of the pasuk, Vayima ein lehit nachem. His mourning continued unabated, his grief without cease. Why is this so? Is it not normal and advisable al pi halacha to allow one's mourning to abate after a year? But the rabbis, quoted by Rashi, and I read Rashi to you, answered that one does not accept consolation for the living. It is possible to listen to the advice of friends and dear ones who asks one to reconcile themselves to the loss of a deceased relative. But, quote, no one can reconcile himself to the loss of one who still lives. And by virtue of his Ruach HaKodesh, Yaakov knew by some prophetic intuition, even if it was below the level of consciousness, that Yosef was still alive in his bones, in his heart, in his soul, even if not in his mind. He knew that his spiritual posterity, his beloved Yosef, his favorite child, was not lost forever. This is why he refused to be reconciled to the eternal loss of this child, and this is why he refused to be comforted and refused to cease mourning. And now Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb brings us such a powerful, powerful hashkafic lesson. And if it was true in 1966, perhaps it's even more true today. Many of us find ourselves, unfortunately, in a similar situation. We do all we can for our children. Parents try their very best. We sacrifice comfort and convenience. We express our devotion in every way we know. But sometimes we find, despite all of this, we have failed, spiritually failed, he's speaking about. The Josephs leave, and they are gone, seemingly forever. We spend our lives in all kinds of difficulties in order to continue the tradition of our forefathers, only to discover these children have betrayed our way of life. What does the Torah answer? Shall we give up hope? Shall we in our hearts of hearts declare them lost to Judaism? The answer is no, exclamation mark. We must change technique. We must try a different method. Above all, we must use the advice of the sainted Baal Shem Tov. Love him more. I once saw a very astute and powerful quote in Mishpacha magazine. I don't remember anything else that the article was about. How do children spell love? T-I-M-E. What is the answer, says the Baal Shem Tov? Love him more. What is the answer, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb? Do not give up. Try a different method. Give him love. Give him time. Quote, do not give up hope for any child. We do not have the moral right to do so. Of course, it happens often, much too often, says Rabbi Lamb, that the Josephs are lost to us. And often they do not return. But there are some who do. For the sake of those who return, we must never give up hope in our own individual cases as they touch our lives. Says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, and it's you know, a number of years ago, I was in Los Angeles at the OU West Coast convention, a couple of years in a row before COVID. My husband and I traveled out west, and we were part of the OU West Coast convention. And at one of my shiurim, I was actually speaking about Yosef, I still remember, speaking about Yosef, and Rabbitzin Shoshana Shechter, Shatichya, was in my shiur, the Rosh Hashiva of Hershel Shechter's Rabbitzin, and in the shiur, I said, I would not want to be a teenager today, how much they struggle, how difficult it is, and Rabbitzin Shechter came over to me after, and she says, you say you wouldn't want to be a teenager today, I wouldn't want to be a parent today, and it stuck in my mind, and it's so profound, how difficult it is today, with all the distractions, technology, the modern world, lack of morals, the societies in which we live, and the ills that plague us, how difficult it is both to be a child and also to be a parent. And yet we put in our best effort. We love them, we transmit the Masorah, we teach by example, we are patient, we are kind, we are hopeful, we pray, we have Amunah, we daven. And sometimes, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, the Josephs are lost to us. They do not return. But there are some who do. For their sake, we must never give up hope in our own individual cases as they touch our lives. If we wait, if we try, if we hope, if we pray, we may yet hear those blessed words after so many years. Oh, Yosef Chai. Yosef still lives. We may find miracle of miracles. Yosef will seek reconciliation with Jacob. And if Yosef does not, then perhaps his children will. Somehow, sometime, somewhere, they will return. And we will find our fulfillment in the generation that follows. We do not give up hope for any Jew. We are stubborn in our love. We are relentless in our loyalty. We are adamant in our refusal to succumb to despair. And that, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, is the hashkafic applicable lesson for contemporary times. And to what it means, Vayima'ein lehitnachim, Yaakov refused to be comforted over the loss of Yosef. Vayomer, he said, Ki eired al bini aval sheolah, I will wait for my son. Until the day of death, I will wait for my son's return. Says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, I will repeat that sentence again. We are stubborn in our love, relentless in our loyalty, and adamant in our refusal to succumb to despair. It is this hope which will give us the strength to continue. And it is this hope and this prayer and this dream that define the Ve'ela Toldot of each and every one of us. And these are the offsprings, these are the generations of, these are the children of each and every one of us. As the story of Yosef begins, Ela Toldot Yaakov, Yosef, these are the offspring of Yaakov, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Beis, Yosef. Says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, it is this hope and this prayer and this dream that define the Ve'ela Toldot in each and every one of us. Be'ezer Hashem, should be zochah to see all of the lost children, all of the lost Jews, return with the ultimate kibbutz galios, and until that day, Vayima Ein Lehit Nachem, Ki Ered Al Bini Avel Sha'olah. So the day when Kibbutz Galias will come and all of our children, all of Hashem's children, will come back. I thank you. I know I went a few minutes over this time. I usually try and stick to my time limit. I hope you enjoyed the shiur. I wish you a wonderful day, and Be'ezrat Hashem, Shabbat Shalom. Thank you. Kol Tov to all.